You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Okay, Don, now sport. Just before we start on the mainstream sport, was staggered by the fact, Don, that you are taking your horses up to Mount Gambier to see the surgeon up there and ride in a rodeo.
No, show jumping.
Show jumping. sorry, Don. And you haven't named your horses. You haven't got a name for your horses.
They've got show names.
Oh, you didn't say that. What are their show names?
Dougie Lou.
A big pun?
Are you ready again?
Again?
One is called Dougie Lou.
That's after your son and daughter?
Yes.
Oh, you had to think about that,
really
did you?
I did think
your
about
Your son's
it.
Name's Douglas and your daughter's name's Louise, so Dougie Lou would probably be...
And the other is called Vinnie Fouquet.
And just one second, Don. You honestly had never thought that you named your first horse Dougie Lou.
Of course I did.
Right. And what's the other one called?
Vinnie Fouquet.
Oh, please. How do you spell Fouquet?
Well, the French way of spelling Fouquet is Fouquet. Fouquet. But I spelled it phonetically, Fou, Fouquet.
Holy shit, Don, what's going on in your cranium?
You
what's Fouquet mean?
Could you imagine an announcer... If I'd named the horse Fouquet, it's French.
Oh, yeah, so...
Fouquet, or he'd come up with... He wouldn't even know.
And the horse is coming down the outside and Fouquet is...
No, he'd say Vinnie Fuckett.
He would not... How would you pronounce it?
Vinnie Fuckett, he would have said.
Fouquet.
Yeah, fuck it.
Fuck it. Like Mrs. Bouquet in Keeping Up Appearances, and Mrs. Bucket, her name is, but she says it's Bouquet. So you were trying to trip up potential broadcasters. You get them to say,
comes helping, Bucket. Helping the broadcasters out.
Well, we've got some names.
Okay, go.
Right.
Well, no, I can't. I've got to change it. No,
just the real names.
No,
the
just,
name.
Just for when you're speaking to them in the horse float, Don.
No.
What about Ian?
Ian.
Or Paul, or Clifford, or Steve. Steve, you say, Don, get here, come on, get here. What about Steve? I reckon it'd prick its ears up and it'd canter over and you could give it a cube of sugar and it would love you for life. It'd lick your bald head and then you could say, Ian, where are you? And over it'd come and you'd go... Here I am.
Shit, you're on a roll today. What has happened? What has happened over the past week?
What about when Paul Winnie's? How did he go?
When Paul Winnie's, Don says, you don't wind me up. Rocket. You do it. Don says, Paul, come here. And he goes, whoa! And it comes, that wasn't very
isn't
good.
Isn't it more wee?
And it comes over and you give him a cube of sugar and you pat it on its nose. And it comes over and you say, why you got a long face, Paul? Because it's always got a long face. And
I can't believe it.
So Paul and Steve are in the back of the van. I'd rather go up and see the surgeon up there in Mount Gambier sitting in the back with Paul and Steve rather than speaking to you. Oh, well, I knew it couldn't last the whole year that he keeps the phone on silent.
Right.
Anyhow,
sport.
So can I just tell you this? No, go ahead.
I had a complaint last week about sport. We didn't go long enough.
Because he'd done no research.
The architect.
No.
I'll tell you why we didn't go long enough.
From James the wine salesman.
I'll tell you why we didn't go long enough, Rocket.
Does he walk his dog around
just himself.
Just himself.
I'll tell you why we didn't go long enough.
I reckon we could. It'd be a cast of characters around the MCG.
I'll tell you why we didn't go.
Oh, sorry.
I'll tell you why we didn't go long enough. Because as what you've just done now, Don, you said, I monopolised the whole of the first segment and I said, righto, we'll do sport. You go ahead, Don. You had absolutely...
Don's got an editorial this morning.
You had nothing to give for sport and I gave you a chance to...
Well, I would like to start...
Good.
...with the Patrick Dangerfield suspension.
Right.
Haven't times changed? We talked previously about 1983, about sex on the desk in Parliament House, Jan Murray and John Brown. Now, we were taught, as young footballers, how to shirt front. There is a way that you shirt front, and done correctly can be a very good weapon. Now, Patrick Dangerfield did everything correctly as far as shirt fronting a player on the weekend and gets 3 weeks.
Can I ask one? I'm not saying this is right, but did he go past the ball?
Well,
if I may, Don, a very good topic. I didn't see it, but I, before I came here, got it on the Google machine and looked at it. And it was in slow motion. And even in slow motion, it was almost instantaneous. It is in real motion, in real time. It is such a split-second thing. And this is what one of the commentators said. This intrigued me more than anything. He said, this is in quotes, he's got to be in trouble because he chose to bump. He's got to be in trouble because he chose to bump. Well, that by definition means that you shouldn't bump anyone. And I'm not so sure how much you can sanitize and devalue the game.
No, but so what, just to explain that, what they're saying is because there was a head clash, okay, which there was, even though it was accidental.
But hang on.
You're responsible then.
Two heads coming together, which is accidental.
Yeah, but
he
therefore.
He dipped his shoulder, kept his elbows down and dipped his shoulder at the right time and hit him.
But the rules are now that you are responsible for your actions if you choose to bump.
Okay.
And if because it was a head clutch, therefore,
so let me
I don't think the person was saying that was right. He's so just saying that's the rule.
So let me be the devil's advocate, and I'm not saying
the devil's advocate, because I was being the devil's advocate.
And let me, and I'm not saying the boy that got bumped did this,
Jake,
right?
Kelly.
But what about if he capitalises and makes a mountain out of a molehill and pretends he got a head clash and goes down like a heap of crap?
But he didn't. We saw.
I'm just saying. What? We're just supposing. It's a bit like the concussion rule.
But fancy.
Just supposing the bloke goes down when Mick Malthouse hit me out at. I don't want to make me this about me.
Of course not.
When he hit me out at Waverley in 1980.
Yeah, that was in a preliminary final.
Yes, in 1980, I went down like a sack of shit. Just to make the most of it. And, in fact, he got reported. And I...
At you always the tribe, had to watch little blokes, didn't you? Because little blokes could really split a big fellow straight down the centre. They were more dangerous.
Because they're quicker?
No, because they've got a lower centre of gravity. You can't get down to protect yourself. And you always had to watch the smaller fellows, if you were tall.
Anyhow, so we've thrown the... I don't know.
So what are you saying, Don? What should have happened?
Reprimanded.
Well, no, I would have just said play on.
Well, the bloke was...
In this day and age of concussion and all that sort of stuff, don't they really...
See, this is the way we've talked in the previous thing about what's happening in society and the way it's going. The same thing's happening in football. It is just a true reflection of society. Yesterday I read about the contentious issue of the coroner in the Shane Tuck... inquest and how that's getting involved. I can understand what they're trying to do, but there's got to be some point that I chose to play this sport, which is a dangerous sport.
Duty and of care.
I chose to play this sport.
Yes. Yeah, you know what you're getting yourself into. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I must admit they do a terrific job looking after us after we've finished with regard to all the operations, corrective operations you've got to have. Now, they're doing their bit.
It's an interesting point you make, because like a motor car racer wouldn't...
Let me finish.
Broke a shoulder, you know, whatever. Sorry, Don, keep going.
So let me finish.
All right, Don.
You've got that have standards for the employees that actually work in the club. You know, there's occupational
health.
Occupational health and safety for the actual employees.
OH&S.
Who don't go on the ground. Now, the footballers are employees too. You know what you're letting yourself into when you play the sport. That's why you play it. And if you're good and able to overcome the risks, you receive the rewards. And We safeguard
against snide and backhand behind play incidents. Well, we safeguard that, all that. That's fair enough. But incidental contact that happens.
Could I say, pose another one? What's going to happen to boxing if this is a precedent? What about judo? What about all these combative
UFC,
kung
well,
fu?
That's it. I was going to say that as well. Mm. All of these different sports.
Ice hockey.
Even the sport I do now, we wear a crash helmet, you know, to protect our heads. We know the danger, but you still do it.
No, it's a good point you raise, because say a cyclist, for instance, Tour de France, falls over, concusses himself. He doesn't sue the sport.
But you've watched Tour de France. I've seen him go over the edge of the cliff straight down the mountain, but they still choose to do it.
And so when you wear a helmet, does Ian or Paul know that you're wearing a helmet? And they trot or gallop a little more sedately so that they don't hurt you? Paul or Ian?
This was an intelligent conversation. No, I thought we were making some progress here, headway. And we just bring it
to... No, we are. Don, it's a very good point you make. I wholeheartedly agree with you. Seriously, we're going to throw... If we haven't thrown the baby out already...
Can I ask you a question?
Please.
Now, I watch you walk around here and you walk like a cripple.
Yes. Thank you, Don.
Now, if you had your time again, would you choose not to have played the sport knowing what you're going through right now?
It's a Dorothy Dixie. You know the answer.
I know. Mm. You'd do it again.
Of course.
So would I.
I've lost a kidney.
Yes.
I've had every... I've done what this is...
No.
Rocket, I warrant you, you could ask, and you're probably the same, I have had every injury that's ever been in the sport that I've played, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, every injury in between. And I'm telling you, you can name one, and I've had it. And as a hell of a lot of people who've played have, but we'd do it again exactly. Because we love the competitive nature of it. And I've had plenty of head clashes when I've bumped people quite legitimately, but that's just when you have two people run at one another, it is impossible to hold your head back. It is impossible. It's about intent. And
this is why people, in all seriousness, used to go to the football to see the violent aspect of the game.
Yeah, that's the gladiatorial part of it.
The brutality
of it.
That's why we admire it. Everybody admires courage. You know what I mean? I'm with you.
So.
What about your other editorial, Don?
About what?
About Hawthorn. It was in the paper yesterday.
Well, you've become prolific, Don. You've been interviewed prolifically by the newspaper.
No, not prolifically. One rang and asked my opinion as to whether Jeff Kennett should the implications of him standing as president for the Liberal Party of Victoria.
Yes.
Did he suspect you'd have a problem with it, or did you make it known you had a problem with it?
Hang on.
Did the call come out of the blue is what I'm asking.
What do you think? Do you think I'm chasing the publicity?
No. I was just wondering how it became known. That's all. No, I'm not being smart-ass.
What became known?
I'm just wondering, how did that come about? Had you expressed it somewhere and a word got out that you had a problem with it?
Or do they know that you and Jeff Kennett are at loggerheads and they think I'll get a nice salacious comment from Don about Jeff? Why don't you two patch it up? Why don't you make good with him? You're both Hawthorn men, both great men, Don, both done a lot for the club. You just keep slagging and chipping away at him.
It is very, very difficult to have a conversation with you. You're an idiot. You're just one rung above.
All right. One rung. That means I'm an imbecile.
Moron. No, moron.
A moron. Do you know there's a scale of idiot, imbecile, and moron?
We know.
All right, go on. Well, Don,
we've got one of each here.
I'll give you this, Don. You make a reasonable point that is it a conflict
of
interest?
Article, obviously the writer Paul has done his research, because it's not only me being quoted. He's got some anonymous sources.
Oh, anonymous! I would never trust anonymous sources, mate.
I questioned it. But
what about when it says at the bottom of the article, Hawthorn was contacted for comment?
Yeah, it was too.
Yeah, but it sounds like Hawthorn gave a lot of comments too. They just didn't want to put their name to him.
Well, Hawthorn, figures did, yes. Yeah. One senior club figure.
One senior club official and a board member. So Hawthorn gave plenty.
Spoke anonymously.
But I like the way they were contacted for comment as though that's going to cover their ass.
Anyway.
Who was the senior club official?
I think there's a leak on the board.
And in the administration.
My word.
So Jeff's on the outer.
Well.
And why do you think that would make a difference if he became president of the Liberal Party, given
at the moment,
he's
okay,
so vocal already?
To fill you in, you obviously don't follow the news.
No, I know what you're going to say.
I follow Hawthorn.
I follow it.
Okay.
They're asking money from the government.
They've got a project going on at the moment called Dingley. And
they want money.
And they want money.
If he's in the Liberal Party, he can...
No, it's already happened, John, that North Melbourne, Richmond, Essendon, I don't know whether Melbourne, received handouts from the Victorian state government. Now, Hawthorn have not received a cent. And it would be because of the comments that Jeff Kennett made as a columnist in the Herald Sun last year about coronavirus and Daniel Andrews. And so that's a conflict of interest.
All right, so you're into him and you just...
No, it's not a case of being into anybody. You cannot be actively... or politically inclined. Lindsay Tanner, he was president of Essendon for a while, but he had finished. But Jeff does court publicity. He writes a column.
Yes, he's got to make a living.
And he's got to be out in front. And
yes, he's out there.
That's right.
Well, I'm not sure. Well, you think there's a conflict of interest about being in government and designating funds to your particular club?
He is going to... They've got him, or whether he takes on the position, I don't know. If the Liberals need something, they're shot in Victoria. I don't know if they'll win a seat. They might finish up like Western Australia at the next election. But they certainly need a kick along.
Were you interested in the supercar racing at Sandown?
No.
Shane Van Gisbergen.
Gisbergen or Gisberg?
Gisbergen. Shane Van Gisbergen.
Ginsberg.
Ginsberg, exactly.
And Shane Van Gisbergen.
No,
Ginsberg.
Ginsbergen.
Van Ginsberg.
Tell me about Shane.
Gisbergen.
Is it?
Shane Van Gisbergen.
Tell me about Shane, please.
Shane won the supercars with a broken collarbone and it was, I'm not sure if it was in plaster or not, but it was strapped up severely.
It had
a plate.
Things in it, bolts.
A plate.
Okay, and the rock. When did he break it?
Gisbergen.
Gisbergen.
Did he break it that day?
No, he broke
weeks
it.
Weeks before?
Yes, the week
before. Okay, well, it's healed.
What a broken collarbone with a plate, and it happened the week before.
I asked you when it happened.
Well, the week before. He was in severe pain.
Was he?
And the Rocket, giving him plenty of credit, said, well, makes no difference, it's the car.
Well, I was saying that just shows that in modern motor racing, the car is everything.
The car
is. He knew that. He knew his car was good, and he wasn't going to miss out in the points. So he was going to, mate. He could have lost his arm, and he would have still raced.
Yeah, so he could be driving the car with one arm. I don't know. He'd be changing gear,
mate. I tell you, this is all since that kid,
George Russell.
Yeah, took over from
Lewis Hamilton in the Mercedes
and stuffed it up for everyone because he showed that it was nothing to do with Lewis Hamilton. It's got to do with that car, that Mercedes.
I agree with you. I agree, but I don't think George or Lewis had an injury. It was the car.
He had COVID.
But he didn't drive. That's what I'm saying. Hamilton didn't drive because
he had
COVID.
And this kid was leading at one point, wasn't he?
He was, and he probably would have won, except they stuffed the pit change up.
Deliberately, because they knew this is not looking good.
But I'm just saying to you that Gisbergen had a broken collarbone and still managed to drive the car. You've got to change the gears. You still change gears in the cars, Don. They're not automatic.
And yes, but isn't it just backwards and steer it. Backwards and forwards.
What's that?
You just move the stick backwards and forwards in a vertical.
If you're going around corners and everything, you're all getting slogged
around.
Yeah,
you hold the wheel with one hand, change it with the other.
I don't know how hard it is.
What do you mean? Sam
and his story about when he was on pole position at Sandown.
No, you don't know how hard it is.
Did you get on pole? Did you get?
I did. In the Nations Cup, I got on pole position.
Nations Cup?
Well, it was a brand of race.
Mickey Mouse.
I've got the trophy out here.
not Mickey Mouse. I raced against I raced against John Bowe, Jim Richards, Paul Stokel, names you probably wouldn't know.
Gentleman Jim, he's arguably the greatest driver ever.
Greatest ever. And I sat on the front row of the grid in the Nations Cup. I was the leading qualifier.
Really? That's a great
effort. I'll bring you the trophy in. Yeah,
that's a great effort.
I'll bring you the trophy in.
Hang on, explain how you ended up on pole. Let's not...
It wasn't... What, everybody had mechanical
He went off first. There was and then it pissed rain.
Oh, I was just going to say, did it rain or everybody else had mechanical problems?
There was 10 of us. I was the last... I was the slowest, so I had a chance...
So the 10th goes first. You know what I mean? They're going
I had a chance
order.
To put my time on for positions the next day on the grid. So I started off. I'm in a Ferrari 360 Modena. And I start off and I drove, for me, a very good lap around Sandown and I got across the line. And the second I got across the line, it pissed down. It absolutely torrential rain. And I was the leading qualifier by 12 seconds. So at the start of the race the next day, they dropped the flag and I had the thing. I was that nervous. I had the thing in second gear instead of first. And by the time I got to the first bend, there were 12 cars went past me. But I'm going to bring the trophy in when we finish this and I'm going to show it to you.
Speaking of rain.
Yes.
What about the club championships down at Portsea?
Oh, have a listen to this. Now, this is Magic Mike, who used to be on here until, well, I don't know, he just went off the boil here. I think he was got to by weasels and...
Gee, you're in good form today.
Weasels and stoats, who said to him, why are you on this...
Anyway, tell me about the club championship at
Portsea. So he's playing, have a guess who he's playing, the Fly, Russell Morris, you know, the ex St Kilda champion. Champion.
Anyway.
Come on.
So they're in the club championship and they're slugging it out and Mick wears glasses, you know, because he can't see. I'm not sure how he's gone blind. But
what grade?
What?
Oh, he's in the...
L grade.
The bottom.
L grade. Right. Or Z grade. And Mick wears glasses because he's gone blind. Not sure how, but he has. So anyhow, they're playing and they get to what hole, Rocket?
Seventh. The seventh and he's three up.
He's three up after against the Fly and it starts to piss down. And his glasses fog up because he hasn't got the misters on him and the rain comes down. He said, I can't see. Oh, no, he didn't say it like that. He said, Russell, he said, I can't see. We're going to have to call this off. And Russell said, instead of saying, you'd be joking, Mick, wouldn't you? We're playing on. Russell said, fair enough, Mick. Let's just wander in. And they went into the clubhouse and the person running the tournament that said, who won? He said, oh, no, we've abandoned it. And they said, you can't abandon it, mate, unless it's thunder, unless it's lightning or the course is unplayable because it's underwater. You get out there and play. Mick said, well, I'm not going out to play. And Russell said, Russell should have said, well, Mick, you got a forfeit then. I'm ready. Yeah. And they said, have a listen to this. This is at the club championship. So they said, I'll tell you what we'll do.
Mick thought that it would go to Russell because he was higher, you know, ranked, you know, in the seeding.
Ranking.
Yeah, but hang on.
Seeding.
Yeah, but he's three up.
No, they're even at this point.
Oh, they're
so
even
by
now.
13 in the rain, so the last six holes have been in the rain and Russell had squared.
He didn't explain that. Right. Don, well done. So he'd squared it, Russell, because Mick couldn't see through his little glasses because he said, well, they've demisted it up. And so they said, they go in and they stopped. And they said, well, I'll tell you how we'll decide who wins. Let's toss a coin. And the bloke running the comp said, you'd be fucking joking, wouldn't you? He said, we don't give club championship medals out and trophies.
Well, this would have been the final.
I know,
keep going. So what happened?
They tossed the coin and Mick lost. So Russell's the new champion.
By tossing a coin.
Tossing a coin.
Oh, what?
That's ridiculous. Not right. He went into the final. That was it was a semi.
Oh, it was a semi.
Oh, well, hang on. He got into the next leg by tossing a coin. Yeah. And the people running the tournament said, holy shit. I said, imagine the British Open, they tossed the fucking coin there. Anyhow.
Jeez.
Anyhow, so.
Anyway, did you know about the stub rule?
The what?
The sub rule. This is it with AFL football. AFL football, sub rule?
Yeah, no, I don't.
It's only a matter of time and they've
What's happened?
Well, it's the doctor determines who comes off of this medical sub. The doctor.
Yes.
You're not listening.
Of
you're,
course I'm fucking listening.
You're more interested in our guest than me.
I was being courteous by saying welcome.
What?
I'm looking.
Thumb up, thumb up.
I thumb up means thumbs up. I wasn't giving him a date sign. I was Don, please. I'm listening about the sub rule. It hasn't
anyway,
worked.
The
Why
doctor can
it?
Determine the fellow coming off the ground. Oh, yes, he's critically injured or whatever else.
Yes.
He needs to come off sub. But then that particular fellow that subbed off can play the following week.
Yeah, so what they've done, they've changed the rule an hour before the season started last week and it's turned into shit. Don, this is why...
And the other thing
honestly,
I'd do...
Why you
I've
take
thought
any
about
notice
this for a long time, but
me.
I'm voicing my opinion, my view right now. I watched the pre-game warm-up. It was a game, I don't know what it was, on the weekend. Do you know, I would not allow the teams to run out onto the ground and do their warm-up prior
Said
to the
that.
Game...
Have said Why? That for years.
Because
yes.
it does not add to the theatre, the air of expectation at a grand final and a final.
Absolutely.
They don't do it in grand finals anymore.
No, Don, you are spot on. I've been saying this for years. When you run onto the ground, do the warm-up inside. When you run onto the ground, take your positions, the umpire bounces. The theatre of it is completely lost by kicking and running That's around right. and bumping and jumping up in the ruck with the bag. It is pathetic.
You don't see NRL players. NRL, you don't.
Hang on. We're
Just a minute.
Hang on. Who's rattling his tin?
I tell you what, Don. Off camera, off mic, he said that's exactly what they don't do in rugby league.
No, the
league.
First
what?
Time you see an NRL player.
Hang on, we can talk about that later.
Well, you we'll said, be, no, well, we'll you talk drew about attention it. To him.
Oh, geez.
You drew attention to him. Who said, who's this
okay,
off? I agree with you, Don. It is
the grand
one of the,
final especially.
It's pathetic.
You know, the build-up, well, it used to be the twos playing prior to the main game.
Yes.
And that... You know, half hour before, and then when the teams hit the thing, the roar from the crowd.
Been saying this for years, Don. The spectacle is diminished by all that crap beforehand. It is
John,
pathetic.
You can warm up with the nets inside.
Of course,
you
Don.
Can do the running.
Yes.
Nobody put, well, very, very, very few put had injuries in the first couple of minutes in a game of football.
Of course, Don, because you do the appropriate
and you
warm
do a
up
bit
with
of warm,
the fizz eds.
You do a you run around, you kick the ball prior
well,
to the ball being bounced.
It's taken us 2.5 hours, but we finally agreed on something, Don.
What if a player does a hammy in the first minute?
Well, that's because his body's out of alignment with the rest of his body, that's how you pull the hamstring.
Because he hasn't been able to get roosted.
Oh,
ball,
come on.
They've got nets. You could, that, the, if you've never been, I can't understand.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
If you've never played competitive
the hamstrings
sport,
right. Yeah, exactly.
You can kick a ball 50 metres inside these huge training facilities. They've got nets. You can do everything. You can warm up better inside than you can outside.
And...
But that happens when you've never played competitive sport in your life.
Shut up.
For challenging him.
The only time, did you ever pull a hamstring?
No.
Okay. Oh, hang on. I missed the bionic, the $6 million man a minute ago and injured
I tore it off the bone, Don, I did. I had it stitched back up at half time and played the last half on crutches. And
what,
was best 25, on ground.
25-minute quarters with time on? Did
yes,
you play in that era?
That's right.
You know they're playing 20 minutes now. Is it 20 or 25
swallowed
minutes?
My glass eye and the doctor said at halftime, let me look up your aort and see if I can see it. He said, I can't see it. I said, that's funny, I can see you. Now, Don, that's it, because we've got our guest.
Because you ain't treating me right. Come back again.